Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast. This is the host, Dr. Mike Roizen. This is episode 1028B. The B's are always the guest segments where we have sensational guests, many you recommend. Feel free to send recommendations to wenwei.com. Wenwei.com is the website for our new book, the What to Eat When Cookbook. But more importantly, we'll get, if you want us to have a specific guest, please do send your request. That's how we got the Green Elephant Man, the author of The Green Elephant, Matthew Fogel, who's a FNP, which is a, I believe, is a family nurse practitioner. We'll find out more. The Green Elephant is the healthcare provider's essential guide to understanding and addressing medical cannabis and CBD. It's published by Hatherley Press, but distributed by Penguin Random House. So you can find it on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and most independents. That is Fogel, F-O-G-E-L, The Green Elephant. We, of course, are sponsored, as usual, by Persona Nutrition. Persona lets you personalize supplements just the way you want to. Take the free online assessment and have some fun at mypersona.com, mypersona.com. And you can even talk to a nutritionist. It's free. Find out what you're missing or not and what might help you. That's one of the things we're going to talk to Matthew Fogel about today. Where and what is the place of CBD and cannabis? And as someone who grew up in the medical years near the Haight-Ashbury, I was involved in one of the last trials of cannabis that was done by in a randomized IRB FDA approved study in 1969. So, Matthew, tell us, is that the reason we don't have better data on cannabis and CBD, that during that Nixon administration it got made a class one drug?
Definitely. If you look back at history, it started with racism and greed in the 1970s, and then it ended up becoming essentially all about greed and racism in the Nixon era, because there's quotes directly from Nixon's administration stating that they knew that that was the easiest way to go after the people that they didn't like, i.e. the black man, the hippies, anybody who was dissenting. And so they very much enforced those laws despite having a lot of medical evidence to the contrary at the time.
So let's talk about the uses. And so that comes to a whole bunch of regulations. It still is categorized as a class one drug under DEA regulation. And correct me if I'm wrong, what a class one drug means is that it is banned, you can't prescribe it across state lines. And so the people say, well, how can I get a prescription for medical marijuana? And the answer is, you really can't. You get a recommendation for medical marijuana, because a prescription whoever wrote that would be guilty of a felony today. But that's changing, right?
Well, what you said is 100% correct, and I would add to it that a Schedule I drug is known by the DEA as a drug that has no valid medical use. And so, you know, obviously with the research coming out, it's misclassed. But you are correct. It is not something that providers can currently prescribe. What they do is they give a recommendation, and most places that have legal medical cannabis It goes through a state advisory board or governing board where the doctor or provider essentially gives the recommendation that the patient will benefit from the use of cannabis as a therapy. And it goes to that board who approves or denies their card based on the doctor's recommendation.
And what that is some specific indications also by state. Isn't that right? So different states have different allowances for if they're medical marijuana or even non-medical marijuana. I guess the recreational ones, there is no restriction. Is there a reimbursement process on the, so I think in Ohio, it is only medical marijuana. I'm at the Cleveland Clinic. But I think it's only medical marijuana with a recommendation and some very specific uses are allowed.
That's exactly right. And it varies so drastically from state to state. You have some states where, you know, you can get it from everything from cancer and seizures down to, California allows for depression and anxiety. And then you have other states where you have to be literally dying of cancer to be able to get it. And then also it goes to what's allowed. Some medical states allow the whole gamut of cannabis products, and then other states restrict very heavily the amounts of THC content, or even going as far as to saying CBD only.
And let's talk about the difference. What's the difference between CBD, THC, and marijuana in general? And tell me why the stuff that I was exposed to in the 1960s is no place near as potent as today's stuff. Is that right?
That is correct. So I think the biggest thing that people fail to realize with cannabis is that it's made up of multiple cannabinoids. So the most commonly known are your CBD and THC. And those are the two big players. Most people know that THC is the psychoactive component. It's the part that everybody thinks knows that gets you high. And then CBD is non-psychoactive. But the thing that they're learning about cannabinoids and the endocannabinoid system in general is that cannabinoids are work together in what's known as the entourage effect. And so essentially, if you have the separate cannabinoids, they do their own thing. But if you put them together, they all kind of exert a multiplied effect that is much greater than the individual cannabinoids themselves could exert. But they also exert a balancing effect on each other. And so For example, one of the things that they're finding is that CBD actually balances out the effects of THC. So if somebody is getting too high, they would add a little bit more CBD to their regimen. As for the potency, absolutely. The stuff that you were hearing about growing up is what many in the industry now would refer to as colloquially as skunk weed. It was probably about 11% or so, give or take, THC. And now, on average, if you go into a dispensary, you're looking anywhere from the high teens to the low 30s as far as THC percentage. So it is definitely a lot stronger. And that's where we make the argument in our book that dosing is so important. And it's about changing a mindset when approaching it, because as you said, back when you were used to seeing it, most people who used in high school or college, they were using the same reason that they were using alcohol. And the whole reason was to get messed up, to get out of their head. And if you think about it in that way, when most people come back to it medicinally as older adults with health issues and are looking to try to use, many attempt to approach it in that same manner as they did when they were younger, not realizing that it's actually a medication. And if used such and dosed appropriately, they'll have medical effects without getting that out of the headspace kind of feel.
Now, talk to me about CBD versus THC and pain relief. So it's used, almost every state, I think, allows it to be used. Every state that allows it to be used allows it to be used for cancer pain therapy. Is CBD the effective ingredient or the active ingredient for pain therapy?
CBD definitely works well for pain, but so does THC. And they're finding, like I said earlier, due to the entourage effect, that the most effective thing for the treatment of pain is a combination of all the cannabinoids working together. That being said, there are many people who can't just use THC. It's, like you said, illegal where they're at, or maybe they're in medicine, or they have security clearances. And CBD is good for those people. It does require a higher dose than is generally accepted in the industry. Most places start at dosing the 20 milligrams a day, and the research is showing that it actually requires a lot higher of a dose than that to be effective for pain.
Now, as we said, part of the reason there aren't randomized controlled trials that show these effects clearly, or that allow us to do dose and effect in various populations, is that it still is a Schedule 1 DEA regulated substance, meaning it's literally a felony to track it across state lines. It's literally a felony to prescribe it. And so only physicians can recommend it, and only do studies in states that permit you to do studies on it, as opposed to, and it has to be grown in that same state. One of the things that is constantly fascinates me is that it's in different forms. It's in an oil, it's in a cream, it's in a, especially CBD, since it can be, I guess CBD is allowed to be transmitted across state lines, as long as it isn't doesn't have THC in it. Is that correct, or am I wrong on that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so are we beginning to get some randomized controlled trials with CBD, or is that still lagging?
We are starting to get some controlled trials. There's some interesting things that I've been reading about where they're actually using it as a concussion protocol for professional boxing and MMA type sports. And
in those sports, it's probably hard to tell craziness from just normal behavior.
Right. But they're using medical humor.
Forgive me.
No, I agree. Sometimes it is difficult. But they're using huge doses. I believe it was something like 1,200 milligrams of CBD on the initial discovery of the concussion, followed by another 1,000 over a 24-hour period. And they're actually having great results with it, preserving neuronal function and preventing any kind of brain damage as a result from these concussions.
Is pain the most common reason it's used, or is something else the most common reason now?
Pain definitely is.
And before you answer that, before we answer that, I should say that we're talking to the co-author of The Green Elephant. I got to ask you how you got that name for the book, as well as probably our guest is Matthew Fogel, F-O-G-E-L. He's a family nurse practitioner who specialized actually in cardiac critical care before getting, dragged into this area. The Green Elephant, the Healthcare Provider's Essential Guide to Understanding and Addressing Medical Cannabis and CBD. It's distributed by Penguin Random House, so it's available at Amazon, BNN.com, and at all the places books are sold. And please do, if you have an independent bookstore in your area, please do patronize them. They will have this. Matthew Fogel, The Green Elephant. So go ahead. Is pain the most common reason it's prescribed?
I would definitely say yes. And it's kind of funny because the name of the book kind of goes in with this answer. The Green Elephant we chose because cannabis is the green elephant in the room. And I've seen it professionally time and time again where patients want to discuss it. They want to talk about it because they've heard that their friend has used it with success or, you know, whatever. We've been seeing these things in the news where, you know, it's helping seizures and things like this. And so they hear about it and they want to discuss it with their provider. And it kind of is this elephant in the room because they want to discuss it. And everything they've heard from providers up until this point has been negative. And so, you know, you have grandmothers who are in their 70s who have asked me in the clinic about it. And it's a very timid thing, but they're like, you know, Judy, who I play tennis with, she has arthritis and she says this has done wonders for her. And I think it could help my pain too. And so, yeah, definitely I would say that pain is probably the most common thing. And it's probably also the thing we have the most research towards.
If I can, tell me where you think it will shake out in a few days. We have a new administration. Do you think it will come off? And what are the criteria for coming off Schedule 1? Will it come off Schedule 1? And then DEA schedule, and I don't know the process for that. Is it an administrative process? In other words, could the president just sign it off of Schedule 1, or is there another process for doing that? And the second thing is, what's the likelihood it will not be banned by the federal establishment, and we'll start to get some studies that are national in scope?
Well, there's already talk of potentially executive action removing it. I don't know the legalities of that, but I do know that I believe it was Elizabeth Warren was planning on introducing a bill in the upcoming session here to deschedule completely cannabis and then to promote the research into it. So I think that there's going to be a big push for that because not only have we seen the research coming out of other countries like Israel and Spain that's incredibly promising, but you have places like Colorado and Oregon that are pulling in huge amounts of tax revenue, and it would just help so many of the different problems that we're having.
In practice, we don't really know. I think it is just executive order because it was an executive order that caused it to be a Schedule 1. That's what Nixon did. I don't know whether there probably is a formal, if you will, period for you to comment on it that is required for something to go on or off Schedule 1, I imagine. But in any case, it could be done by administrative action. And we don't know, has President-elect Biden selected whether he's going to, soon President Biden said whether he's going to, he's likely to deschedule it or not, or do we not know that?
There are several people who have been part of his inner circle that have been talking about how that's a priority for his administration. I don't think we've actually heard anything directly from President-elect Biden yet, but there was the push late in the fall before the election to decriminalize that passed the House unanimously. And so, or not unanimously, but I mean, it passed the House and was moved on to the Senate, and I feel that we're trending that way. You have more than two-thirds of Americans who support legalization in some capacity or another, and you know, the what we've seen from all these places like Colorado, Oregon, California, is that it increases tax revenue. It helps a lot of these people to get off of their opiate addictions. And then we haven't had the bump in teen use that they really feared would happen with the legalization. All these places have either maintained or gone down with their teen use. So it seems like most of the objections to legalization have handled themselves through the experiment with the states.
We've been talking with Matthew Fogel, who is a family nurse practitioner who wrote The Green Elephant, the healthcare provider's essential guide to understanding and addressing medical cannabis and CBD. It's available almost everywhere. As you can tell, there's a great amount of knowledge that is needed in this field. The studies have been limited by its being a Schedule I drug. And so we have a huge amount of anecdotal data. We need more. This book helps you understand where we are and helps us understand the uses and, of course, the effect that we have learned about today is, in fact, I think one of the things I've learned is about the entourage effect, how the combination of cannabinoids is important. You would expect that for something grown in nature, for them to have some beneficial effects in combination that may be more than the individual or more than additive effects. Matthew Fogel, F-O-G-E-L. We, of course, as usual, this is 1027B, the guest segments of You, the Owner's Manual radio show and podcast. You can always download us from iHeart or Radio MD. Radio MD is really our home, has been for more than 20 years now. So Radio MD, thanks for downloading us. Caitlin, who is our engineer, thanks for helping us and for keeping me on the straight and narrow. And we are, as usual, sponsored by Persona Nutrition. You can talk to a nutritionist about what you need and what is beneficial for you, as well as take the free online assessment to find out how your diet is helping you or not, or what's missing in it. In fact, they do have CBD as well, although this schedule of this guest and that have nothing to do with one another. The producer does not know what Persona offers and selects the guests for us. I have nothing to do with guest selection except to get some of the guests on that I want that have a whole bunch of stuff on lifestyle, such as Dean Ornish. And coming up in a couple weeks is one of my favorite people in the world, Ted Gordon, who is talking to us about cane defense. That is, if you walk with a cane, how to use it, or even how to start using a cane when you walk to protect yourself. Ted is one of the people who taught me jujitsu and karate in my youth, which I think has still kept me a little spryer than I would be. That's coming up 10:29, I believe. And as I said, the B's, always the guest segments. The A's, always the latest medical news of the week and what it means to you. Tell your friends about us. Thanks again. We'll be back next week with the latest medical news. And we will have a sensational guest, although it's going to be hard to top this one. And in fact, the last one, remember, Embrace the Suck was last week, how you can turn tough times into really positive growth times for both you and your economy and your overall well-being. Thanks again. See you next week.